Welcome to the Shipping Podcast, a multi-fandom podcast for the shipper in you. Hosted by Shirazade, your friendly mod, OTP shipper, and fandom old. Somehow I managed to go through fandom without knowing what the hell Naruto is about. This finally changes in this episode, episode 10, in which Wolfie and I talk about Naruto Shippuden and the pairing of Sasori and Daidara, aka Sasade. But what's a ship, you might ask? It's an abbreviation for relationship and can be used as a noun or verb. I ship Kirk/Spock, or my favorite ship is Spirk, meaning you would like to see Star Trek's Kirk and Spock as a couple. And in the latter case, you're using one of the popular ship names, smushing their names together in a way that can be cutesy or cringy, depending on your point of view. However, this podcast will be zero judgment, 100% squee, as fans talk about their ships, why they ship them, and which fanworks might make you ship them too. At the end, each guest will nominate the next fan to talk about their OTP, that's one true pairing, i.e. the ship they love the most, creating a multi-ship, multi-fandom chain of interviews. Het, i.e. straight couples, slash, meaning same-sex pairings, fictional characters, or even real people. The only limit is the imagination. Does that sound like something you might enjoy? Please give it a listen and let me know what you think. The Shipping Cast is hosted on shippingcast.fandomish.net. That's fandomish.net, where you can find show notes and subscribe on various podcasting platforms. There's also a Tumblr at shippingcast, a Twitter at shipping_cast, or you can email me on theshippingcast@fandomish.net, where you could also send me a recorded voice message for inclusion in a future show. I'm very open to questions and opinions about the ships we talk about, or shipping in general, so please get in touch. I very much enjoy making this podcast, but I've had to start paying for pro accounts, so I set up a Patreon on patreon.com/shippingcast, in addition to the Ko-Fi and PayPal links, which you can find on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. Would you like me to record some episodes that cover more general aspects of fandom instead of being limited to ships? One of the Patreon perks is special episodes, and you can even vote on the topics. A note in advance. As mentioned before, this podcast is a judgment-free zone. My guests are here to share what they love, not to defend themselves. We ship and let ship here, and any flames, i.e. hateful messages, will be used to roast marshmallows, to use old-school fandom lingo. This expression dates me, I know. I'm actually 38, and I've been writing fanfiction since I hit puberty. However, I only joined online fandom in 2001, which was also when I started writing fic in English. My native language is Swiss German, in case you're wondering, and I have the equivalent of an MA in cultural anthropology, media studies, and German literature. These days, I work an admin job in the renewable energy sector, and I spend my free time consuming media in the form of books, movies, TV shows, and podcasts. I find fandom fascinating, not just as a creative outlet in the form of writing, reading, and gifting, but as a cultural phenomenon. I hope I'm not the only one who loves to hear people talk about their passions, and there's few things fans are more passionate about than their ships. The ship that we focus on in each episode is clearly stated in the title, so if you think that a ship will cause you distress or anger, please skip the episode. It's also quite likely that there'll be spoilers, so in the immortal words of River Song,
spoilers.
Sasori and Daidara seem to be one of those bad guy ships that are very popular, and Wolfie does a great job conveying what makes them work, both as separate characters and together. We also go into what it's like shipping a couple that's died in canon not only once but twice, which requires some serious coping mechanisms. But let's dive right in. I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea. To a land across the sea, the sea, the sea. Shall we dive right in?
Yeah, when you're ready.
Okay, great. So, thanks so much for joining me, Wolfie.
Nah, anytime. Well, not every time, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, there is a bit of a time difference, but we managed to find a way.
That's okay, it's called coffee.
Yeah, so before we get into the fandom and the shipping part, why don't you introduce yourself?
My full name on that I'm known over the interwebs is Akatsuki Member Wolfie. I also go under For the Wolfie. My real name is Karis. Although I did very recently, actually, first day of March, I actually published my own book on Amazon, so I'm also K.R. Wilson as well. So,
okay, yeah. You'll definitely be sharing those links.
Yep, definitely.
What's your book about?
It's called The Hero of Hamasi. The idea I pretty much had behind it is I took this really common trope where character must go to another land to defeat the evil demon king and the three evil generals. And then I pretty much just messed up with the idea. So my protagonist, he's actually an ex-villain himself.
Okay.
Who's trying to rescue his twin brother, who is a hero. So he has to pretend to like be his twin brother.
Oh, okay. So it's like mistaken identity.
Yeah. And he pretty much has to go along with these two other people, one of them who is a guy who gets a major like crush on him throughout, and the other's an asexual plant mage, but she's just really funny. And it's pretty much how weird can I make the ideas, because he can't actually fight these generals to save his brother. He has to find like really different ways of defeating them. So don't be surprised if he ends up having, like, a drinking contest with a giant suit of armor. Yeah.
I mean, that sounds fun. That sounds lots of fun.
Yeah. I was like, the tone's kind of weird because it's, like, drifts between, like, it being funny with, like, the current events and then kind of you get to see parts of his past where he was a villain and how dark his character used to be before he had his whole redemption.
Oh, so you're a professional writer?
No, I have a degree in English education. So I'm technically a teacher, although I'm between jobs at the moment because, like, the job market is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, so good luck on that front.
Yeah, nah, it's all good. I'm keeping myself busy just writing. I've always had like passion for writing, and writing fan fiction really helped me practice, get feedback, and meet like-minded people.
Yeah, there's lots of excellent writing about in fan fiction.
It's crazy how good some of them are. And then it's sad when you see like 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, no, let's not talk about that.
Talk about what?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool that these days it's less like shameful, you know, to have like a fan fiction background. There's quite a lot of really successful writers out there these days who have a fandom background.
Yeah, it's a great way of like paving your way, like, to actually doing professional writing, because it gives you that fan base and that people who actually want to read it.
Yeah, and I mean, with fan fiction, you basically, I mean, you just write it because you want to write it. It's like,
yeah, you don't do it as like a paid job. You do it because you're genuinely passionate about it, and that's where you get the best writing, when you're actually passionate about something.
Yeah, and then you can translate that into like original fiction.
And like a little bit of OC-ness, but that's okay.
So Yami nominated you. How do you know her?
We actually know each other in real life, which is a weird thing to say. It's like, no, we met not in real life. What actually happened is when I was in high school, I ended up meeting up with this anime and cosplay group that was known as Sanctuary. And I met Yami in that group, which was actually really funny because, like, the first time we met, I was actually dressed up as Sasori, who's one of the characters I'm talking about today, and she was dressed up as Deidara, the other one.
Oh, yeah, she mentioned that. That is so cool.
It was really funny, actually. So it was a fandom friendship, like, right from the start.
Yeah, it was meant to be, obviously. So you're from the anime side of fandom?
Yes, although I do like, I'm kind of all-rounded, so I started off with anime. Naruto was pretty much my big anti-drug when I was young. I've kind of dabbled in fandom-wise. I've dabbled in, like, Supernatural. I was really huge on for a time. Yes. But it is typically anime and manga that I've always been drawn to.
Yeah, you're not the only one. We've had quite a number of animated fandoms on the podcast already.
Yeah, I think it's to do with just how, like, diverse and how character-heavy a lot of these shows are. They offer, yes, like, so much, so many different chances to, like, pair all these characters together.
Yeah, I'm starting to see that.
Yeah.
Someone who has, yeah, never really seen an anime except for, what's it called? Last Airbender.
I don't know. Some people would argue that that's not an anime.
I know it's Western. It's Western anime. Nah, I know. But it's like.
One. Yeah, no, nah, it's okay. I won't. It's fine.
I know, which is why I always say that I usually say that I haven't watched any, but then I'm like, does it count? Maybe it counts.
I count it, actually. It pretty much might as well be. It's artistically very similar.
And it is animated.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like, yeah. Even if it's not anime.
Yeah. I don't know, a lot of people do, like, anime itself is like a medium, more of a genre. So I'm sure, like, anyone can literally find, like, an anime that they would really enjoy.
Yeah. So what type of fan are you? It's like, do you have usually, like, one ship? Do you multi-ship?
I'm kind of both, actually. I'll have my main OTPs, and those characters cannot even look at other characters. They will be together. And they will stay together whether they want to or not. I mean, yeah. But then, like, other characters I'm kind of more lax about. Traditionally, when I was really in my main fan fiction stage, with the pairing I'm going to be talking about today, they're a part of this organization known as the Akatsuki, where there's 10 members of them. And traditionally, if I was writing about all of them, you kind of just ship them together in their, like, partners.
Yes.
And so even though some of them I was kind of like, I kind of ship it, but I'm not really huge on it, I would still ship it just to kind of, like, pair them together in fan fiction.
Yeah. But they're not, But obviously the one that we're talking about today, that's the OTP level.
Yeah, OTP. Yeah. I thought I was, like... Because I majorly wrote the about the Sasude in the pairing of Sasude, like, several years ago, and only recently kind of got back into it. And I was like, oh, I don't even know what I'm going to be talking about today. I'll, like, I'll do up a few dot points, and somehow I ended up reaching 4,000 words. apparently I'm not over them.
Yeah, obviously there's feels that need to be expressed.
Yeah, another pairing I was kind of debating was Kurogane and Fi from another anime, but I kind of then remembered about what happens in the OVAs and decided I'm not ready to talk about that, and we'll never be ready to talk about that.
Sometimes it hurts too much, doesn't it, when canon screws us over.
Yeah, you're like, I'm totally over it, and then you start mentioning the names, and then you're like, I'm not over it.
Yeah, there's definitely canons where I'm just like, what, that didn't happen? No, I don't know what they're talking about. It ends at this point, and then we live happily ever after.
Yeah, are already, like, living together in I don't know, Idaho or something. That you cannot convince me otherwise. That is how it ends. Which is actually a bit about the pairing I'm talking today, actually, because their one, both of the characters die in the show. Very early on. God. Yeah, so spoilers, sorry.
the whole show is spoiler warned.
Yeah.
I haven't have a nice soundbite of River Song.
Ah, no problem. Oh yeah, what was it? Spoilers ahead.
Yeah.
Yes,
But yeah, you will have to tell me what the whole show is about, because I might be one of the three people on the internet that does not know what Naruto is even about and what the difference is between Naruto and Naruto Shippuden.
Oh, sorry, there's only two people who don't know. Nah, I'll be happy to say. Yeah, it is a whole nutshell of itself. I'll be happy to go into the different parts of it.
Please do.
Okay,
before we go into the fact that your ship is dead.
They're dead, they're in the ground, and I cry all the time.
Tragic.
Pretty much, the actual universe of Naruto is just kind of coined as being called the Narutoverse.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the world is divided into these ninja nations. And these ninjas are also known as, shinobi is the actual word for them in the show.
Mm-hmm.
There have been some wars between these nations in the past, but the show is predominantly set during a time of peace. Each nation has a hidden village. So the main one that the show takes place is called Konoha, also known as the village hidden in the leaves, because it has to be something that's really long and stuff. The characters, they're all trained at a young age to become ninjas who complete missions for their village, and the world has its own kind of magic system called chakra and jutsu. Mm-hmm. Chakra is like a power source that they all have inside of them. Friendship! More glowy. And they also have jutsu, which are techniques. So, for example, a water jutsu might create a giant wave, while a fire jutsu might create a fireball.
Mm-hmm.
Some characters have unique abilities, but others are universal.
Yeah.
Now, the titular character of the show is Naruto, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It follows him. He's a young ninja, and when he was born, he actually had a nine-tailed demon fox sealed inside of him, because we can't have normal protagonists. And his whole goal is that he wants to become the leader or the Hokage of his village, despite the fact that everyone is scared of him because he's got a demon inside of him.
Yes.
The show is actually divided into three sections. There's Naruto. There's Naruto Shippuden, which is the one that I predominantly fangirl over. And Boruto, which I technically haven't touched. It's about Naruto's son and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So by the end of Naruto, the first part of the show, it's been revealed that there's this organization called the Akatsuki. Bah, bah, bah. And they're all trying to capture these tailed beasts. There's nine of them. Mm-hmm. It includes his nine-tailed fox. They want to get them, they want to, they end up having to, kill the hosts in order to remove the beasts. Ooh. And they kind of want to rule the world. It's kind of vague.
Yeah.
So that's, all of the backstory behind it, so.
Yeah, but it's obviously not good for Naruto.
No, he kind of doesn't want to be killed.
Yeah.
Which sucks, because the Katsuki are, the best characters.
And then in the Naruto Shippuden, what's that about?
So that's pretty much where the Akatsuki come in and start trying to take the beasts. So the first one, Naruto, is kind of him trying to pass this test to become a better, a higher ranked ninja than what he is. There's this huge fight with this evil guy called Orochimaru, who actually later is mentioned as once being a member of the Akatsuki. So you know he's a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of I really like Naruto Shippuden because I find that's where it really gets focused.
Yeah.
Mm.
And where does your ship come in?
Okay.
Who are they?
Yep, so my ship is Sasode because it's an older pairing back before you actually came up with really fun ways of saying them, boyf and stuff. So no, they're just Sasode. They actually come in at the very start of Naruto Shippuden. Up to this point, there's been a few Akatsuki members revealed. One's the brother of one of the main cast, Evil, Evil, Evil. But it's really when Sasori and Deidara come into it that you realise just how big a threat they are. But the first thing you have to know with this pair is that they're both artists. It's they're the cornerstone of them in the fandom and in the show is this whole thing that they're artists. Deidara, his idea of art is that art is an explosion. It's something fleeting. It's something that, like, you see for just a moment, transient, and then it fades away to nothing. Cesare, on the other hand, believes art is eternal, something that stands like the test of time. So you can already see where this kind of relationship is going. And this whole debate with them over art happens continuously whenever they're on screen. Like, Cesare is like, art's eternal. Deidara is like, I respect you. I respect that, but you're wrong. You're super wrong. And then usually ends up in Cesare threatening him somehow. Which Deidara doesn't usually stop at either. He's just gotten, it's got to the point where I just imagine off screen in their past, this has happened so frequently that Deidara can just sense whenever Cesare is about to try to attack him. Just like this six Cesare sense.
So they have quite a bit of backstory then.
Yes and no. Deidara doesn't really get much backstory in the show, but Cesare gets a little bit more. I'm actually, a long, long time ago, I actually wrote a fan fiction that was literally Cesare's entire life story.
Okay.
Yeah, it took me like nine months to write. So much research.
Yes.
71 chapters, 250,000 words. And I've actually been an idiot this year and like, hey guys, I'm going to remaster it because my grammar is a lot better now. So now I'm having to rewrite this thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you obviously have thoughts about
I was since I was young, I'm like, I'm Cesare's biggest fangirl. That was like, I don't know, like, I'm probably not, but that was always what I kind of convinced myself when I was younger. I'm like, I'm his fangirl, no one can tell me otherwise. I wrote his life story, everything's perfect. I spent hours like researching all the details and everything. Pretty much the backstory that you get canonically in the show about Cesare is that when he was five, both of his parents went away to war and died while he was while they were away. So he's been raised up by his grandmother, who could never actually bring herself to tell him that your parents died. And so when he was five, he just spent all this time waiting and waiting, always told like, oh, they're just going to be on, they've just been on another mission. They'll be back eventually. And it gets to the point where he just becomes so like isolated that he ends up building puppets of his parents. Like, oh, I can recreate the love that I can't get. But he kind of has this moment where he realizes my actual parents are dead and these puppets aren't gonna be able to fill that void.
Yes.
The main thing with all the Akatsuki is they've all abandoned their original villages. They're known as, they're all S-ranked, evil, evil, evil people pretty much, which is why we love them. Which is why we love them. And they pretty much, it's this big thing for them to turn their backs on their own village. And Cesare left his when he was about 15, 16 years old. And he just ended up being a little bit of a psychopath and turning actual human beings into puppets. It's kind of his thing. He may have also turned his own body into a puppet as well. It's actually great, his reveal in the show, because for the majority of his appearance when he first appears, he's actually inside of another puppet. That's like, it's a bit but ugly. It's called Hiroku. And it's kind of this really slouched over old man kind of puppet. And it's not till like later on when he's about to do this huge fight against his grandmother and one of the main characters at the show. Yeah, it's great. I hate Chiyo, his grandmother. She's kind of a, do you know that meme where it's like the character shoots a gun and is at the, another character, and when they die, they're like, why did they die? She's pretty much that character. But, okay, it's like, oh, why did my grandson turn out evil? I wonder why, even though I was like neglectful and never told him that his parents died. But yeah, he has this whole scene reveal where he like pulls back this cloak over him, and he still looks 16 years old, even though at this stage he should be 35.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's this big thing.
Is that also like magic or?
Yeah, he's turned his body into a puppet when he was 16.
Into a 16-year-old.
Yeah,
okay.
To create this whole idea of art, coming back to this whole thing. That's how he kind of wanted to obtain his idea of art being eternal. He turned himself into a puppet because puppets don't age. Therefore, he himself is true art.
Okay.
Deidara, on the other hand, like flipping it back here, Deidara is, he doesn't get much backstory. You just kind of know he abandoned his village when he was about maybe like 14-ish. And he was kind of forced into joining the Akatsuki. But he's kind of like gone along with being a part of it. Like he didn't like it at first, but he kind of.
So not a psychopath.
Oh, he's a total psychopath.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, they're all psychopaths. Okay. It's kind of cute. It's kind of cute because then you can put them in coffee shop AUs. Where they're not psychopaths.
That is such a fandom thing, you know, like, oh, they're psychopaths, it's so cute.
Yeah, oh, they would kill me in 2 seconds if I knew them. I'm gonna draw them kissing.
Yes.
I don't know, it's actually, I really like the whole idea of writing AUs with them. Because it really actually, like, involuntarily creates this nice concept of how a character is defined by nurture and not necessarily nature. About how them being raised up in different societies leads them to having this really nice coffee shop AU. Deidara,
of course, the whole trick is that they still have to be recognizable as the same characters.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, even without their... admittedly sociopathic tendencies, they actually both have very distinct personalities. Deidara himself is pretty much the epitome of live fast, die young, leave behind a beautiful corpse mentality.
Okay.
His whole art being about transient beauty being gone in a moment. So of course he specializes in explosives. And it's pretty much this cornerstone that you have to know. I like that word, cornerstone. Pretty much any fan fiction that you'll read about them, literally every single one, will go a little into the art. It's that pivotal to their characters. So, for example, they'll always have like this argument about what art is. Is it eternal beauty? Yeah. Is it eternal beauty? Yeah, is it eternal beauty or is it transient beauty? So whenever you actually, like, write them together, you have to get in this argument with them. Even if you believe that one way or the other, if you believe that art is eternal or you believe it's transient, you still have to debate the other side of it.
Yes.
It actually, it's really interesting because it kind of creates more empathy. I believe, like, to be a writer, you really have to be empathetic to get into, like, the characters' heads. So whenever they have this simple, like, art discussion about, oh, art is fleeting, art is eternal, you have to be able to get inside their heads and argue both points. Because it's not in their characters, and literally no one would ever do it, of them suddenly being like, yep, you're right, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
They're both, like, very stubborn and very opposite characters.
So is that why you started chipping them?
Yeah, it kind of was a bit weird, actually, at the start. Technically, I kind of was shipping Deidara with other characters at the very start. Pretty much, I shipped him with another character called Toby, who is pretty much his partner after Sasori dies, because even though Sasori likes things being eternal, he dies first. So I originally paired them together. And that was actually my first run-in with more hardcore yaoi kind of things.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know, 14, 15 at the time, and I found a doujinshi. It actually made me kind of sick to my stomach, but you can bet Deidara's butt I went back the next day and reread it 10 times. And then I kind of paired him with another character, Itachi. And then I somehow landed on Sasori and Deidara when I was looking at like fan art on DeviantArt. And instantly I was like, yep, blonde, redhead, together, forever. And I've like literally never shipped them with any other characters ever since. And I have no regret.
Do they have like lots of interaction in canon?
Yeah. The way that Akatsuki is divided is it's in partners. So they'll be like always in pairs of two. So Sasori and Deidara are partners, and you get a lot of scene to them, like just walking through like this desert together as they're trying to reach the first village that happened that they go to in Shippuden. And the majority of when they're talking to each other is this whole thing about art. And then arguing about it, which is actually really funny because it's like, oh, look at these characters who could, like, murder me in a second. What are they doing? Oh, they're just talking about art. And it's funny because there's literally a scene where they've actually just kind of killed one of the main characters of the show. Like, tailed beasts. Who was actually, it's a really interesting one because he's actually a fan favorite character as well, who they've just killed. Okay. But Deidara, who like takes him out, does it like the fight is so good that you can't even hate Deidara for like doing that. It's like, no, you won fair and square. But they have been like, the four other main characters have just like burst in on like Sasori and Deidara. And then instead of acknowledging that there's now four enemies in close proximity, they just suddenly start arguing about art again. And all the other characters are just like, lol, what? They're just so confused. Which, I don't know, I really like it because it's like, it really highlights just how powerful these S-ranked ninjas are. They're literally like the titular character of the show doesn't pose a threat to them. Sasori also has like one of my best favorite lines of him in this scene, which is, you know what happens when I get angry. Which is like, okay, so this is definitely a common thing even off screen.
Yeah, so they have this whole kind of bickering married couple
definitely like how I would describe it, this whole married couple. And even then they're kind of slightly different. Deidara will be like, I respect your idea, Dana. He actually calls Sasori Dana, which is funny because it can actually be translated as either master or husband. Kind of like no one really knows why. They're like, okay, he just calls him like Dana for some reason. He's like, oh, I respect your views, Dana. And Sasori's like, no, I'm right. And doesn't respect his at all. It's like, nope, you're wrong. I'm right. But Deidara is the one who's always trying to, like, convince other characters about his art being, like, the correct one, where Sasori is just like, no, I know my art's the right one.
Yeah. You can't tell me anything.
I'm the senior. I'm, like, 30. One of them, Sasori is 35 and Deidara is 19 in the show. But you'll find in a lot of AUs, they'll actually drop Sasori's age down to, like, 25.
Yeah, so it's a bit less.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, I want, you know, he's probably, like, developmentally not all that old.
Yeah, it kind of happens when you're, like, raised up in a society where you're taught from a young age to, like, how to kill people and be a ninja.
And I don't know if he you know, he made himself into a puppet. Just like, so, okay. I don't know, strikes me as something that only a 16-year-old would do.
I'm not going through a phase, Mom. I mean, Grandma.
I really want to be a puppet.
I just want to be a puppet, Mom. And then he does it and it's like, oh, sugar, honey, iced tea. Guess I can't go back. Once you go puppet, you can't go back.
Yeah. No, that won't be it. And then he ends up dying, you said?
Yeah, it's actually it is a really cool fight. It's actually one of the longest fights in like all of Naruto. The The mm-hmm. one issue, the two characters he actually ends up fighting. One of them is his mm-hmm. own grandmother. So, ouch.
Oh, yes, yes, you mentioned that.
And the other is this character, one of the main characters of the show called Sakura. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the fans have issue with Sakura. Okay. I think at the start of, like, Naruto and stuff, Kishimoto, the one who actually wrote the manga, I don't think mm-hmm. he was very good at characterizing female characters.
Okay.
He gets better, like, later on. There's a lot of really good female characters in Naruto, but because Sakura was done so early on, she's kind of viewed as this useless character. Mm-hmm. And she has this whole, like, arc because there's, like, a time skip between Naruto and Naruto Shippuden of about 3 years. And it's been, like, shown, oh, during these 3 years, I was off fighting with this super awesome lady known as Tsunade, and I can now kick butt. And she does. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. after she, like, pretty much defeats Sasori, she goes back to being useless.
Oh,
which is,
yeah.
like, come on. Come on. Please.
Yeah. So it's kind of, yeah, that feels kind of like, you know, yeah, like, so who is going to kill Sasori? Which of our main characters?
Yeah, and it's like, oh, please, God, no. But I actually really like his death. Like, I've kind of gotten mm-hmm. over it over the years. Like, it still hurts mm-hmm. a bit, but I can kind of read into it more.
So does he fight by himself then? Or?
Yeah, he fights by himself because okay. Deidara is like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this dead body and I'm going to fly off with it and get, like, see how many of these people follow after me. Have fun, Sasori. I'll see you later.
Oh, no.
Sasori's like, what? And, like, two of the characters ran out to go fight Deidara, where two stay back to fight mm-hmm. Sasori. The way Sasori fights is he fights using puppets. So he actually mm-hmm. has a technique where he summons, like, 100 puppets to do all the fighting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But his whole death scene is actually, really interesting. I mentioned earlier when he was 5, he actually made puppets of his parents.
Yes, yes.
What happened is, his grandmother actually, kept them. And actually mm-hmm. Kept them for herself and put, like, weapons in them and stuff. So in this fight, she's actually been using mm-hmm. his old parents.
Oh, okay.
And what happens during his death scene is he's literally about to, like, gut Sakura, like, mm-hmm. decapitate her pretty much. And what happens yeah. is, it's a pretty brutal show, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
But then suddenly the mother and father puppets come out and, like, stab him through his heart. And it kind of, it kills him. But Chiyo, his mm-hmm. grandmother, actually says afterwards that he saw the attack coming, but he chose not to dodge it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this whole, okay, so he wanted to die in, like, his parents' embrace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he was, killed, like, by by something that he
killed made by himself. Parental love.
and he created them himself.
Yeah. So it's kind of this, it's a really interesting, like, death scene. So I've actually kind of, mm-hmm. like, forgiven it over the mm-hmm. course of years. Like, no, it's actually mm-hmm. a pretty, like, human death for a character yeah. who's kind of, like, not supposed to be very human.
And then Deidara finds him, or is that
what happens? A bit later is Deidara ends up in a fight with one of the other main protagonists.
Mm-hmm.
This one called Sasuke, and again, I can't really be too upset because what Deidara does is he pretty much turns himself into an explosion. So he becomes his art, which is kind of something yes. that's in his character. But at the same mm-hmm. time, Sasuke survives through, like, crazy mm-hmm. random happenstance.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I've forgiven Sasuke more than I forgave, like, have forgiven Sakura, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so they're both dead. That's kind of...
Yeah, but then they were brought back.
They were brought back.
They were brought back, and then they died again.
Oh, no.
It hurts a little.
Yeah.
But they get, like, Sasori, at least, he kind of willingly goes. He kind of gets, like, talked to by another character who's like, Sasori, you were eternal because you put love into these puppets and stuff. And Sasori's like, yeah, okay, fine. I'm just going to go. Okay, bye. Meanwhile, like, Deidara's just like, no, don't listen to that. Stay here with me. Which is like, oh, he left Deidara again. Aww. So sad.
So I reckon there's probably lots of fix out there.
Yeah, one of the fan fictions I actually am going to recommend is one that's all about, like, how they fate their deaths. Mm-hmm. And it actually, not including how they were brought back to life, which happened a bit later. Because this damn show always ruins its own, like, timeline and stuff. But aside from that, it's really good.
Is the show still ongoing?
It's now on to Boruto, which is about Naruto's son.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Akatsuki threat was, like, all wrapped up in a nice little bow where most of them died. Aww. But they were still cool.
Is it? Yeah. So, is it quite popular in Naruto fandom to like the bad guys?
Ah, super.
Yeah.
It's one of those, because Naruto itself is one of the four big juggernaut animes. So there's Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Bleach, and Naruto. And even though, like, a character pairing like Sasori and Deidara would just kind of get brushed to the side and would have, like, a very small fan base in any other anime, because the fan base of this one is so huge, you still end up with, like, sometimes more fans for this one, like, secondary character antagonist pairing than from, like, a main pairing from another show.
Yeah, just because the overall size is so,
And I think of all the Akatsuki pairings, I think it was also one of, like, the most popular ones because they were introduced so early on in Shippuden.
So, and is it still active?
I think it's not as large as it used to be. So, for example, I used to do my majorly writing about 7 years ago. That was when I was at, like, the peak of being in this fandom and, like, writing all my fan fictions and stuff. I think now AO3's come out. It's kind of reappeared a bit more. But it's definitely not as large as, like, it once was. But it's still,
I guess,
it's one of those pairings that you kind of, like, want to come back to eventually. I did. Help.
Yeah.
Help.
Yeah, you already mentioned that you like lots of AUs for this ship. Is that quite common?
Oh, yeah. I feel this pairing itself works best in AU rather than actually in universe. From my personal experience, I've actually written a total of, like, 44 fan fictions. Yay.
Okay,
and 40 of those are about Sasode. Two are about Matt Mello from another anime. And two of them feature both pairings. And about 5 of that 40 is purely canon, including both my one about Sasori's life story and the remaster. Yes. An additional 4 are also in the same universe, but aren't canon. And then I've written, like, 29 AU fan fictions, which range from, like, cross-dressing to bowling to rewrites of Beauty and the Beast and Lord of the Flies for some reason.
Okay.
I wrote one where Deidara was magically cursed to be a goldfish. What can I do? That's weird. I've done them as pirates, samurai, one where Sasori was like an incubus demon. The list goes on.
And other fans are also, so there's lots of AUs, not just from you, but
I find it's definitely a pairing that works best with this, with AU, especially considering, like, their short time in, like, the anime. I find ones that kind of try to focus on, like, on the in-universe kind of end up a bit angsty and hurt comfy, which kind of makes sense with how they go out. But it's like, nah, let's stick with coffee shop AUs. Because that's cute.
So is the fandom like a nice place to be? It's kind of, because I was just wondering, I don't think we've had an antagonist pairing on the podcast yet. Is there like opposition from like other fans, or can you basically just do whatever you enjoy?
The main issue that comes with this fandom, it's not because like they're antagonists. A lot of it actually has to do with Deidara. Because Deidara in like this in the fandom is pretty much paired with every single other character in existence.
He's the fandom bicycle.
Yeah, pretty much, especially in like the Akatsuki. And even Sasori is like paired with he's actually paired with Sakura a lot. Which like I'm not gonna judge, but I don't personally like it. So that's kind of where the only kind of conflicts happen. People being like, oh, this Deidara should be with Toby, or Deidara should be with Itachi.
Yeah. That's because people get attached to their OTBs.
Yeah, Sasori's best though.
Obviously. Otherwise you wouldn't be talking about them.
Yeah. I find the other big thing is that thing I mentioned earlier about how a lot of fans kind of turned against Sakura and Sasuke for like having their own hands in the deaths of these characters that they really loved. And I found like they get a bit more hate than all the others who kind of like killed off other Akatsuki members purely because it felt kind of unrealistic. Because like Sakura, she actually creates a cure for Sasori's poison because he's kind of always shown as being like this scorpion figure. So he uses like poison and attacks like that. And there's this big thing that she only has 3 minutes until it's out of her system. And then she would like, then she won't be immune to the poison anymore. And so, of course, it's four episodes later and there's still like a whole minute left of this poison. And it's like,
ugh. Yeah. That's so frustrating when they just like, they could have just said that they had, that she had like an hour, then it wouldn't be so.
Yeah, it's like, I get it, like, it works better in the manga because there's no real time frame, but when you're doing it in like anime, I think they should have definitely edited something there. So
it's like, I've been watching this for 3 hours.
Oh no, I still only have 2 minutes left on this poison. So that's pretty much like the only real fandom is like you'll actually find in a lot of like fan fictions, even like I'm guilty of this, Sasuke or Sakura will commonly be like the antagonist in fan fictions, where Sasori and Deidara are the protagonists.
Yes. Yeah, well, because they're the ones who killed them.
Yeah,
so
they killed my OTP.
Yeah. You can at least take your revenge in fanfiction.
Yeah, they will live forever in a nice little coffee shop AU. So they're not going to let this idea die, this coffee shop AU.
No. No, obviously. Is there like, did you write like an epic one of those as well? Like the back, like you did the backstory?
A lot of mine can be a bit long. I think a few of them I actually did like sequels and stuff for. So my second, like one of the ones I'm most popular for, is one School of Freaks, which I absolutely hate now because I wrote it so long ago and the writing is trash and people still message me saying they like it and I'm like, how?
Yeah.
And like that one goes over like, I think it's actually, there's two fan fictions about it and then a spin-off one that's about like their neighbours, Matt and Mellow. Because I was like, you know what would be great? A crossover fiction. But at the same time, like a lot of mine, I think I got like Blonde and the Bandit, 40,000 words. None as huge as wide as blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that killed me a little.
That is, I mean, pretty much unbeatable.
That's why I still, like, I don't regret it. Like, I actually, like, even though it's like the actual show has kind of messed now with my like timeline and stuff. And they're suddenly like, oh, you know this character who's like been dead for like 400 episodes? Let's randomly give him a backstory episode. And I'm like, why? Who is this guy? How did he know Sasori? This doesn't make sense.
And it's not how I wrote it in my fic.
Not how I wrote it, so it doesn't exist.
Is there anything else you'd like to share about the fandom, the pairing?
I think it's one of those pairings that maybe has a little bit too much angst and hurt comfort fan fictions, like purely based on like the kind of characters and everything.
Yeah, well, you it's a pairing where both of them died twice. So
one of the things I think is most important about this pairing is they're complete opposites, the two characters. But they really work well together. And it's never really like, it's kind of shown in the show occasionally, but rarely in the show do they like work together. But when they do, they get stuff done. And I think the main thing in like their fan fictions and their like fan base is that the two characters end up like loving each other, not in spite of their differences, but because of their differences.
I like those sorts of pairings where they're like partners, real partners.
Yeah, and also like love-hate relationships are like the best in fandom.
Yeah, so shall we move on to the Rex?
Yeah, I got a few.
Yeah. Great, so what kind of fiction do you want to rec?
Okay, so the favourite ones of all time. So one I actually mentioned earlier that's about how they totally survive their deaths and then they leave the country and escape to another country and start up a life together.
So it's kind of like the goat farm, eh?
It's a really good one. It's called Flesh and Blood and it's written by Kanteira. Kanteira? I'm really bad at pronunciations. I don't know why I'm a teacher.
Yeah, just send me the links and I'll put them in the show notes and people can find them.
Yeah, no problem. So I think the best thing about this show is actually the back and forths between Deidara and Sasori. Like, it's really funny. I think my favourite scene is they end up sharing a bed because Sasori's like, oh, I'm eventually going to become a puppet again, so we don't need to get another bed for our quaint little house in the country. And Deidara's kind of like, we're kind of like a married couple, aren't we? And Sasori's like, no, we're not married. We've never, like, been together. I don't like you in that way yet. And he's like, Deidara makes this joke about, look, I can touch you and you don't kill me. That means that we're married. And Sasori's like, you stay on your side of the bed. And, of course, Deidara says, the fact that I have a side of the bed.
Yes.
Aw. I know, it's a nice one because everything feels really plausible. Even though some of, like, the backstory, like, ages and stuff don't link up with my research. Yeah. But I'll forgive it. It's okay. Yeah. So that's probably a favourite all time. One of the other ones I really loved is called It's Not Love by Exotaku X2002X. It's really, it was probably one of the first few that I really got into, and one of those even nowadays I still actually go back and reread. It's a love-hate kind of relationship where through crazy random happenstances they end up, like, sharing a house together. It's domestic, why not? But they kind of hate each other at the same time, so they're all trying to, like, one-up each other by, like, Deidara replaces the sugar with salt, And
of course.
And Sasori replaces Deidara's shampoo with like green hair dye.
So all the classic pranks.
And also it has one of my favorite like quotes in it as well, where things happen, Sasori and Deidara end up in a broom closet and they actually end up like kissing for the first time. And this is Deidara's thought. No, no, no. You must resist. He's the devil incarnate. He's the bane of your existence. He's a damn good kisser.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah, perfect. 10 out of 10 would read again. And like that one's a bit shorter than Flesh and Blood, but you know, I love I love that scene. It's great.
Yeah.
Some of the other ones I have a great beginner one is one called Itadakimasu by XX Black Chaos XX. And one that was super funny. It's not really romantic, and it's kind of more towards Day Sasso than Sasso Day, where Deidara is kind of a bit, like, more dominant. But it's a really funny one. It's called Salutation Education by Novelist Pup. And, yeah, it's just, it's gold.
Is it canon-based, or are you...
No, that one and... So Flesh and Blood is canon-based. It's Not Love is AU. Itadakimasu is canon-based. Salutation Education is AU.
Ah, so it's a nice mix.
Of course, I have to put myself forward. As White as Blood, the remaster that I'm doing, I'm up to, I'm like one-seventh of the way through. You could like read the there's like the original is up and everything, like I pretty much am just like fixing up the grammar, some sections I'm kind of like swapping around, so that's a really good one. Canon complementary is the word for it.
But is it all does it also have the ship in it?
Yeah, it does eventually. The one issue is Deidara doesn't actually come into it until like literally halfway through chapter 33. So you get like 32 chapters of Sasori being Sasori, living his peaceful little life, and then then he gets an explosive artist who just suddenly bursts into his life and ruins everything.
His peaceful little life. His peaceful little life as a psychopath.
His peaceful little life of murdering people. And then he's like, damn it, someone I can't murder! curse you, fate.
How annoying.
One of my... So, yeah, a writer that I really have to recommend is one of my friends. Her name's Kiono. We've actually done, she and I have done like collaborations in the past, and the system we actually had for them is like I would write 500 words and then she would write 500 words, which kind of sounds like it wouldn't be like, I don't know, it sounds kind of chaotic, but it was super fun. So like, yeah, her stuff is really good. I think she actually, on fanfiction.net, she actually has the longest fanfiction about Sasori and Deidara.
Okay. Yeah. Even longer than yours?
Yeah. Even longer than mine.
Wow.
I, like, cry at
me.
Even, like, our collaborations, I think, are, like, really funny stuff. All AUs and stuff. And, of course, the one who wrote It's Not Love, Exotaku X 2002X, she does a lot of not just Sasode, but a lot of Akatsuki pairing stories, usually on, like, the shorter style, but still all really good.
Yeah.
I think I used to, like, just read through her stories when I was in, in my prime.
Is there also like art? Lots of it?
Yeah, so there is, you can actually find like tons online. My favorite my favorite picture is one called Arrogance and Pride, which is I'm definitely gonna like butcher the name. It's like Kayuks. And but one of the best Saturday artists on DeviantArt was one called Ninja Girl Rukai. But she actually now is on Tumblr under Data Glitch, and I don't know if she really does Sarsadé anymore, but if you type up Sarsadé, like, her stuff comes up. Okay. It's really, like, prolific.
Mm-hmm. And is it mostly, like, the same style as the anime, or do people have different styles?
I find it's one where people always try to do it in their own style rather than in the anime mm-hmm. style. So, like, with it being a, like, shonen, the art style is, like, it's not, I'm not saying it's bad, but compared to, like, shoujos where they're all, like, really sparkly and everything's, like, really perfectly set up, it doesn't really compare. So a lot of people do it in, like, their own style to try to put, like, more effort and stuff into it.
Mm-hmm. Great. Do you have any other recommendations that people should look at?
My other stuff. those were pretty much with fan fictions. That was pretty much like the main ones that stuck up to me. Mm-hmm. I was always like,
great.
I'm only going to have a few favorites, so people know the really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm a like connoisseur, like just.
Good. Yeah, that's good.
But yeah, all of that stuff is like really good. I can like guarantee it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Great. Great. So who will I be talking to next?
Yeah, so I'm going to nominate my good friend Nick. We actually went to school together, so they really got to see me at the height of my Sarsadé phase. They have a Tumblr account, which is BBC Otaku, and they're planning to talk about the Tree Bros, Connor Murphy and Evan Hansen from the musical Dear Evan Hansen.
Great. So it's going to be our first musical ship then.
Yeah. Which is like a really sad one, so prepare.
Is it a really sad it's one? Really oh, no. Sad one.
It's great, but it's sad. But I won't like, I won't steal her thunder. Just don't cry next week when you hear it.
Okay, I'll steal myself.
Good.
Yeah, where can people find you online?
I go under a few different names. So I have a Tumblr where I'm For the Wolfie. I have a DeviantArt, an AO3, and a fanfiction.net where I'm under Akatsuki Member Wolfie. And on Amazon, as I mentioned earlier, I published my first book, which is called The Hero of Hamasi. And it's my writing name is K.R. Wilson.
Great. We'll definitely put all of these in the show notes so people can track you down.
Yay!
Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a blast. I'm sorry that I ramble a lot.
No, not at all. It's perfect. It's perfect. Thank you so much again.
Yeah, it's all good. Thank you very much.
I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea. To a land across the sea.
This wraps up the 10th episode, which feels like something of a milestone. I hope you've enjoyed the ride so far as much as I have, and are looking forward to the continuation of our shipping journey. In the meantime, do check out Wolfie's recommendations in the show notes, which you can find on shippingcast.fandomish.net. That's fandomish.net. The next episode will be released on April 5th, earlier for Patreon supporters, and will feature an interview with Nick, BBC Otaku on Tumblr, about Connor Murphy and Evan Hansen, aka the Tree Bros, from the musical Dear Evan Hansen. You can follow and get in touch on Tumblr as ShippingCast, on Twitter as Shipping_cast, and you can email the podcast on theshippingcast@fandomish.net. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you think of the podcast and the ships we've been covering. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are found. A full list is on shippingcast@fandomish.net/subscribe. As mentioned before, if you want to get the next episode the moment I finish it, at least one day early, you can become a supporter on patreon.com/shippingcast. This also has some other nice rewards, like extra episodes on other fandom topics. And that way you can help me pay for the necessary pro accounts for the podcast and keep me going. There's also the option to send me a one-time donation on ko-fi.com/Shirazade or via PayPal to webmistress@shirazade.net. All these options are also described on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. And you can help me totally for free by leaving reviews or simply spreading the word to other fans. I'm Shirazade, spelled S-H-I-R-A-S-A-D-E, and you can find me as such on Tumblr, AO3, YouTube, Pillowfort, Dreamwidth, and on Shirazade.net. I've also joined Mastodon as shirazade@fandom.inc. The podcast artwork was created by the wonderful Little Zion. The music is Sailor Song by the Peerless Quartet. Thanks so much for listening, and remember, you are the captain of your ship.